Welcome to the Mormon to Medium podcast, where we'll talk about spirituality, the paranormal, religion, and my journey going from Mormon to medium. I'm Nanette Ride. Thanks for listening. Now let's go have some fun.
Don't be afraid.
Hello, welcome again. This is the Mormon to Medium podcast. I'm Brad, and I'm here with Miss Nanette.
Hey, guys.
She is the best part of the show. She's actually the medium part of the show, right? If you haven't listened to us before, this show is about Nan's journey going from being a devout Mormon to becoming a medium.
A medium?
A psychic medium.
Yeah, psychic medium. Yeah, which, and a healer and so many other things. I'm not even Nan anymore, right?
Well, you're Nan, but you're Nan in a different light. You've grown and changed and evolved. And I think that you've had some very, very cool experiences that have helped change you and shape you into who you are now.
You know, I really have been blessed with those. And the fun thing is that Spirit teaches me something new every day that I'm just astounded. My jaw just drops. But I just have to clarify, I am the medium part of the show. You're the sexy hot sauce part.
So, I don't know that you can throw that out there.
I can. I just did. And it's my show.
That is not appropriate.
You are. And you've been gone. And I just love having you home.
Well, thank you. It's good to be home.
And you shaved your beard. And I love seeing your face and your dimples. And
you know, here's my thought on shaving the beard. I saw a meme and I sent it to you one day. Beards are literally the push-up bra for men. And as soon as I shaved, I was like, holy shit. My lip is so big. My chin is so gone. And I have a double one. And what the hell? My face is way fatter than when I grew my beard. All of these thoughts went through my mind. So yeah, I think it's true. The beard is the push-up bra for men. I'm going to have to grow it back so I can look distinguished again.
Nope. Not till November, baby.
I know. It's too hot in the summer. I can't have the beard in the summer.
I love seeing the cleft in your chin and the dimples in your cheeks. I love them. And I miss them when your beards are, although I do love your beard. You have a beautiful beard and you do look really good, but I love it when you shave it too.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Good to see those sexy lips and you're just hot. You're my hot sauce.
You're so funny. Well, I am glad that you appreciate me so much.
I am madly in love with you. It's not even appreciation.
Like, how cool is that?
It's a little bit of lust and...
Wow. I am so lucky.
You're right.
Thank you.
I hope you never feel like a piece of meat, babe.
Do you know what? Most guys don't care. It's okay. Right now, our kids are going, ah, why are you talking like that?
Fast forward. They know we love each other, though. So, yeah.
Sorry, guys. Well, let's
no, I'm not.
You're not, are you?
No.
So today we wanted to share another listener ghost story. We've had several sent in and we've just been kind of filtering them through, but we're going to share one that was sent to us that we thought was pretty cool.
And before I get started, so if any of you do have some ghost stories that you would like to share with us and have us read on air, just send it to info@mormontomediumpodcast.com and we will get them up and we'll get some feedback. Ghost stories are always fun and it always makes everybody feel like it's really real instead of like, yeah, it's just a story.
Well, no. it helps to have other people confirm and go, wow, I've had that happen to me as well.
Right?
Because a lot of people have had these types of paranormal experiences that you go, well, how can I explain that off? And you try to start going, all right, let's debunk this. And there comes a point where you go, I can't debunk this one. What do I do now?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Like LTG, yeah. You know, our first guest we had on the show, he talked a lot about the ghosts that he experienced at the Rio Grande and all of the things that happened there that he's like, I've got nothing. I can't debunk it in any way, shape, or form.
And he's as cynical as they come.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think that it's great to have stories like this so that people can relate and go, okay, I'm not crazy then.
I think that it's interesting when gifted people have ghost stories and kind of the feels that they get. So this ghost story is from someone that we know really, really well, but this person is gifted. So kind of keep that in mind as I read through this story. It's really cool. So this is her story. Years ago, we found a cute little house to rent. It had a big front porch, gray siding, and white trim on the eaves. I was excited to find a house to rent that was affordable.
Think about affordable if they were trying to rent it now, because I know this was like in the 80s. Think about what she'd go now if she's like, holy shit, rent costs what?
For like one room.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a house payment for one room nowadays. As we entered the front door, we were in the living room, and to the right was an adjoining bedroom divided by old French doors with window panes. I put some semi-sheer curtains on the French doors to provide privacy in the bedroom. Both rooms were very small but charming. The kitchen was the biggest room, which was just behind the living room, then a stairway to the basement at the back of the kitchen. It was a full, unfinished basement with a cement floor. I noticed that there was also an opening underneath the front porch. It had a dirt floor. I found that to be a little strange and a bit unsettling. I wondered why it hadn't been filled or cemented. I didn't like the feeling I had in the basement, which became stronger as I got closer to the porch area.
Do you know what's interesting is you hear that from a lot of people like, oh,
basements?
Basements creep me out. I don't like basements. Why do you think that is?
I think it's probably because it's dark, right?
That could be. But a lot of people get very uneasy in basement areas.
But if you think about it, low vibrating energy will gravitate to darker areas and areas that don't have a lot of energy. That kind of energy will kind of settle in darker areas. So that's kind of why you feel unsettled.
Oh, interesting. I like that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But we had, so in the house I grew up in, there was an area like that was open and it went into like a crawl space underneath the house. And that always creeped me out. I was like, oh, that's creepy and scary.
Oh, I totally understand. In the house I grew up in, there was like, I don't even know how to explain this. It was almost like an old coal room, but you had to open like up off the floor, that it was probably 4 feet off the floor, was this little door that you would open. And it happened to be in my bedroom, okay, at one point. I would need like a little step stool to get up inside. And then it was all cement encased in there.
Oh.
So a big cold storage area. And then there was a little hole that went to the outside.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if it was a coal room or what the heck it was. But it was all.
I'll bet it was. So they probably dumped the coal into that chute. You said there was the hole that went to the outside.
Well, it was a really small hole though. Oh. So I used to be able to put my little hand through the hole into that room. But I used to be so afraid to crawl up in there because we moved there when I was like in second grade. I would be so afraid to crawl up in there. But as I grew older, it would be a place that I would go hide. And it became like a safe place. But I think as a little kid, it scared me because it was that dark and, you know, lower vibrating energy. And it was underneath our porch.
Huh.
As well. So yeah, we had a spot.
Is it still there?
It's still there at my brother's house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next time we go up there, I want to see
it. You want to see it?
Yeah. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah. Like my parents used to stuff our Christmas presents in there. So once I figured that shit out, I'd go in, like, look at our Christmas gifts.
What? You were that Snoopy kid?
Oh, totally.
You totally would go like, would you unwrap the presents and look at them?
No, they weren't wrapped.
Oh. Oh, they made it easy.
Yeah, so they were just in bags, and so I just look around. And I didn't, like, pull things out. I just peeked in bags. And most of the time, it wasn't for me anyway, so. Anyways, I think it's interesting that, I wonder who else has had little places like that when you're a little kid that you're like, oh, that's a scary spot.
Yeah, I think everybody has.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kids get freaked out easy.
I don't know. Our little grandson doesn't.
He's pretty brave.
He is. And he like sees stuff. Anyways, let me finish the story, Bradley.
Sorry. I'm going to just keep interrupting you because that's how I am. I'm sorry.
Okay. Let's see. It was a full unfinished basement with a cement floor. I noticed that there was also an opening underneath the front porch. I found that to be a little strange and a bit unsettling. I wondered why it hadn't been filled or cemented. I didn't like the feeling that I had in the basement, which became stronger as I got closer to the porch area. Back upstairs was another bedroom that became my 5-year-old son's room. It was just a few steps from our room, and it had a small closet with just enough room for an open door without hitting the foot of the bed. In the living room, I had a love seat, which I placed under the front window. One evening after my husband went to bed, I was reading a book while seated comfortably on the love seat with my back towards the French doors. As I was reading, I was distracted by a strong feeling of a presence standing behind me. Gross.
Well, we've all felt that too, right? When you feel like, oh shit, I'm not alone. You get that little hackle stand up on the back of your neck.
Yeah,
and you're like,
you get phyloerection.
Yeah, you're like, someone else is here. Yeah, I feel that unease, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure lots of people do. I usually just put my book down and be like, what do you want? What's up?
Yeah, but you deal with those things a little bit differently than most people.
So this wasn't the first time I felt or seen a presence over the years, but I've never felt fear until now. I tried to ignore it and continued reading, but the feeling became stronger. I absolutely felt like this presence was a man and he didn't want me there. I didn't want him to know that he scared me and didn't want him to know that I knew he was there. So I slowly closed my book and turned out the lights and got up to go to bed. He didn't follow me. I closed the curtains on the French doors and I climbed into bed.
Do you know what? That's interesting.
That's because, a butt pucker.
Right? But look, she completely withdrew her energy. She didn't give him anything to work with or go on or right. to have any kind of satisfaction. It was like, whatever, you're essentially just not there.
You know, you have a point too. Whenever you're dealing with low vibrating energy or energy that's hostile, and remember, people are people. When someone dies, if they're not a nice person when they're alive, they're not a nice person on the other side. So, and they could be stuck until they remedy that a little bit and then go through their healing on the other side. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we've had some spirits that we've run into that aren't so happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. If you feed it energy, it gets bigger. So she was very wise in what she did. So the next morning, I decided to move the love seat to the other side of the room against the wall that he wouldn't be able to stand behind me. That's kind of funny.
Right. Okay. If I put this by the wall, he's not going to be able to stand behind.
In walls.
Yes.
But it
makes sense.
It's kind of rational, right?
It is, completely.
I love it. A few nights later, we had friends over, and I hadn't told anyone about my experience with whoever was trying to scare me. They sat on the love seat as we visited. Our friend kept turning his head, looking over his shoulder. He seemed uneasy and distracted, and I asked him if he was okay, even though I knew what he was experiencing.
Oh. She's just watching the shit show unravel.
I could just see her, like, kind of grinning on the inside, like, yeah, let's see what happens here.
Right.
Yeah. Sure enough, he said it felt like someone was standing behind him. He was disturbed enough that he and his wife left almost immediately. A few nights later, I woke to my son screaming. I ran to him to see what was wrong, and he had seen a man with red eyes standing in his closet. It seemed so real to him that I actually thought that there was a live person in the closet. I looked to see, but no one was there. I knew that this house was haunted by a spirit, and I was curious to find out who this spirit was. So the next day, I went next door to talk to the landlord. I got right to the point, and I asked if anyone had died in the house. She looked at me sheepishly with a slight grin on her face. Can you just see that?
Right.
She tilts her head and said, "Why do you ask?" I didn't explain. I just asked again firmly, "Did anyone die in this house?" Then she told me that her brother had owned and lived in the house. He had committed suicide by hanging himself in the basement under the front porch.
Which is why she felt like she did when she walked towards that area.
Yeah, she got the heebie-jeebies when it came to the front porch because she's gifted. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that she knew her brother was still there and possessive of his house. Not long after this, we found a house to buy and we moved. I occasionally drive past this little gray house with the white trim and wonder if the scary spirit has found peace or if he's still there.
Pretty cool story, huh?
Pretty cool story.
So I've actually got a personal tie to this one. This story was sent to us by my mom.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yes. So I actually remember this little house very well, and it always creeped me out.
So you were the 5-year-old little boy.
I was the 5-year-old little boy.
Do you remember the spirit with the red eyes?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll talk about that here in just a minute. So, but before we go to that, let me tell you about the basement, because I do remember walking into that basement and walking up to where that big hole was. And this was a different house than I had talked about just a minute ago that had the crawl space. Mm-hmm. This one I walked up to, and I remember just a gross feeling, just like I shouldn't be here, and running back upstairs as fast as I could. Just a very unsettling feeling. But as far as seeing the spirit, I remember it a little bit different than Mom did. So I remember waking up because I heard someone talking. And
I heard someone talking,
and I was looking around my room, and I looked over the side of my bed because I was going to get out of bed. And when I looked over the side of my bed, there was a man laying on the floor on the side of the bed. And he looked up at me and said, "Hi, Brad."
Stop it.
Yeah. "Hi, Brad."
Is that when you screamed?
No, that's when I hid underneath the covers.
Oh.
Because every child knows.
And you were five.
Yeah. I was probably, I don't think I was five yet. I might have been four. Maybe I was five.
But Your mom says you were five.
I know I started kindergarten the next year.
Oh, my gosh.
So I hid under the covers. Every kid knows covers are going to protect you from monsters, right? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's a monster. This is terrifying. This is, something's going on. So I hid there, just trying to get up my courage, because I knew, like Mom said in her story, at the foot of the bed, the door opened, and there was just enough room for the door to open by the bed. So I knew that if I could jump up and run and jump off the foot of the bed, I could get out the door and not have to jump off the side of the bed where this thing was. So it wasn't actually in the closet. So when I had enough courage, I jumped up and did the battle cry and ran as fast as I could to go let him know. Yeah, it was terrifying as a little kid. I think it was scary because that's what we're always taught, right? We're always taught, hey, you need to be afraid of ghosts.
Right.
You know, ghosts are scary in all the cartoons.
It's true.
So, except for Casper, the friendly ghost, and he was an anomaly. But I remember my stepdad at the time telling me, hey, you should have talked to him and asked what he wanted. You know, maybe he was going to show you a treasure or something. And I was like, that's an interesting thought. And then from that point on, I thought of ghosts a little differently.
Yeah, because you even now think of them differently.
Yeah, I do. But, you know, I that's not to say that I don't get freaked out at times. I absolutely do. And usually it's just me getting in my own head, right? But it was...
You getting in your own head? What?
Well, I'm not like an overthinker like some people I know. Oh, I just got the Rory finger.
What?
But yeah, definitely will get in my own head about it sometimes.
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, right.
I remember when we were dating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we were sitting around the fire and Mom told that story.
She started to tell the story. But before she said how the guy died, I saw the dude and said, yeah, he hung himself. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And your mom like looks at me like, what? I'm like, yeah, he wasn't trying to scare you, though. And which is why he said, hi, Brad. He wasn't trying to scare you. I think that being seen, he probably... Yeah, most people that die by suicide don't feel seen or heard or
That's true. Yeah.
So to be able to be seen by a child would probably be a big deal to a spirit that is feeling tortured. So
that would make sense. What do you get on the feeling though that he was like possessive as his home, didn't want other people in his space? Because it did feel very much like that. It wasn't a very welcoming feeling.
But if you think about it, when someone is by themselves and they're in their home, they think that that's all that there is. So the fact that he's an earthbound spirit and he's stuck here in his loop of misery tells you that he doesn't know anything different. And of course, I mean, if somebody came in here, I mean, we all live on different dimensions. If someone came in here and started moving this room around you, you wouldn't be very happy.
No,
right?
Good point.
So he probably is just like, what the crap? Like, go away. Like, just leave me to my misery because I deserve it type of thing.
Right.
But it would be interesting to go past your house again and see if he's still there and then see if he wants to leave.
Well, next time he's
still there.
Yeah. Next time we're in Spanish Fork, let's drive past that little house.
It hurts my heart that anybody would be tortured like that and feel stuck.
Well, I think a lot of it is probably based on his religious beliefs.
100%.
Right?
Oh, 100%.
I mean, you get tortured to that level that you believe.
Well, and you get stuck until you, I mean, you don't know what you don't know. But then when you learn something different, like when we were in the Driscoll, the girl had been stuck there for forever, crying, and people had hurt her and all the things. And then when I told her, you know, you don't have to be like this and men aren't worth it. She's like, what? Like, you can see me? Like, I don't have to feel like this type of thing. It like it shines a new little light on things. And then they have choices instead of, yeah, this is what I deserve. This is my hell because I'm a horrible person. Right.
And if you want to hear about that story, listen to the episode about the most haunted hotel in Texas.
Yes. Yes. Cool stories. Anyways, thank you for the ghost story. And that's crazy. I think I have more questions, but I want to go by there now.
Yeah, let's definitely do that. But yeah, let's definitely plan to go see it and take a drive past that place. It would be fun.
Definitely. It's a hot date.
Perfect. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in and listening. We sure appreciate you and we love to hear your feedback. If you have any feedback for us, please follow up, send us an email, info@mormontomediumpodcast.com, and we'll respond to those emails. We would also love it if you give us a positive review and follow our show.
Yeah, go look us up on Instagram and Facebook and follow us and share. Tell people about us. Help us grow. Okay, you guys? We love you and we send you all the good vibes and happy Mother's Day to all you awesome women out there. And we will see you
on the other side of the veil.